Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the opening of Mommy, an exhibit at Yale Union, Saturday, October 10th at 4 p.m. Mommy is a group exhibition featuring work by Lutz Bacher, Sonia Hamilton, Diane Simpson, and more, including a performance by Corinne Schneider. The show opens October 10th at 4 p.m. and will be up through December 20th. Again, that's Mommy at the Yale Union, 800 Southeast 10th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present A Hard Day's Night as part of the KBOO at the Clinton Monthly Film Series. The Beatles made this film in 1964 as they portray a rock and roll band traveling from Liverpool to London for a television broadcast, and wackiness ensues. Again, that's A Hard Day's Night, Thursday, October 8th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Today on Flashpoints, we present an encore broadcast of David Talbot and Peter Dale Scott in conversation, exposing the CIA, the secret government's war on democracy. This was given back in February of this year. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, David.
I thought we'd just have a conversation from some of our intimate friends here this evening. Anyway, I'm going to start with a few remarks. It's a testament to Peter Dale Scott, so don't blush, Peter. But I want to share some of my thoughts about Peter before we begin, and then we're going to get into a dialogue, and it's going to be focused largely on his new book, which I think is very important, and in some ways is a synthesis of much of Peter's work over the past few years. So these are my prepared remarks. Forgive me for reading them. I will make eye contact later with you. Power. It's a sexy subject in America. Vanity Fair does its annual list of the most powerful people in the country, the so-called new establishment. Forbes magazine does its rankings of the wealthiest people in the country. But few journalists or scholars have made it their mission to analyze the true realities of power in America, at least not since the pioneering work done by Columbia University sociologist and self-proclaimed anarchist C. Wright Mills, author of The Power Elite back in the 1950s. In recent years, it took a former Canadian diplomat, UC Berkeley literature professor and poet named Peter Dale Scott to undertake the most profound scrutiny of American power, from the Cold War era to the War on Terror. It was Scott who developed the notion of deep politics back in the early 1990s, the insight that America is ruled by a parallel system of power that operates above and in some ways below our democratic system of governance. Scott's conception of a deep state made up of elements within our national security agencies, Wall Street, and Big Oil, and often working in harmony with repressive states like the Saudi regime, as well as drug cartels and organized crime, is not easily dismissed as conspiracy thinking. Although he identifies central players in the deep state, some of whom have reigned from decade to decade and administration to administration, like Alan Dulles, Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld, he believes the deep state is, yes, fine. It's fine to hiss. Hissing is allowed. He believes the deep state is more than just, quote, a secret team of conspirators. As he writes in his new book, the deep state is not a structure, but a system, as difficult to define, but also as real and powerful as a weather system. Peter himself is hard to define. Sometimes you get the impression that he would rather be discussing Dante over pasta with truffle sauce and a fine Tuscan wine than the grim subject of politics. His poetry... I think I got that right. His poetry is his first passion, and he comes by this love naturally. His father, F.R. Scott, was one of Canada's most eminent poets and a mentor of Leonard Cohen. Our own former poet laureate, Robert Haas, has called Peter's epic Coming to Jakarta, quote, the most important political poem to appear in the English language in a very long time. Peter has a way of getting at the poetic truth about our political dilemmas. Quote, we are made schizophrenic by loving America, he has written, which I took to heart. I think it's a very profound insight for many of us. I met Peter several years ago with my colleague, Karen Croft, who's in the audience, through our mutual interest in the Kennedy assassination. In fact, my latest book, The Devil's Chessboard, Alan Dulles and the Rise of America's Secret Government, was inspired by a conversation that Karen and I had with Peter. Traumatic episodes like the Kennedy assassinations, ones that have changed the course of American history, are described by Peter as deep events. The explosion of gunfire in Dallas, the Gulf of Tonkin incident that triggered Lyndon Johnson's escalation of the Vietnam War, the October surprise in 1980 that paved the way for Ronald Reagan's victory over Jimmy Carter, the Iran-Contra scandal, the 9/11 attacks. All of these deeply transformational events have an official explanation, and they have designated culprits, as Peter calls them, like Lee Harvey Oswald and the 9/11 hijackers, who were immediately identified as the evildoers. But there is also a deeper explanation for these events, like those offered by Peter, who has developed a poet's brilliance for identifying the deeper meaning of things and decoding the obfuscating language of official reports and connecting the dots. This evening, we'll be discussing Peter's interpretation of the monumental deep events that have changed the course of recent history and tragically deformed our grand American experiment. These deep events have brought us to a juncture where, in the words of Jimmy Carter, the rest of the world almost unanimously looks at America as the number one warmonger, end quote. And as Peter observes in his new book, this permanent state of war that the United States has imposed on the world since World War II has in turn dangerously militarized our own society. Now, to an unprecedented extent, he writes, America itself is being treated by those in authority as an occupied territory. Fundamental principles of American society, such as respect for civil liberties and the rule of international law, are being jettisoned, Peter writes, because of a so-called terrorist threat that is largely of America's own making. The war on terror has become an endless, self-generating conflict that creates more enemies than it eliminates. And now, today, we have President Obama demanding yet more executive authority to widen this war without end. But despite the grim situation we find ourselves in, as Imperial America plows its way into a second century, Peter, being Peter, remains more a prophet of hope than one of doom. He notes that in his book that he has seen during his lifetime the way that popular movements and visionary leaders have brought nations and peoples back from the brink of destruction and have chosen life and liberty over death and subjugation. In fact, we have in the audience this evening, although he's being very modest, one such inspirational figure, someone who during the bloodiest days of the Vietnam War enlightened himself and then enlightened the world through the heroic release of the Pentagon Papers. We welcome, of course, Daniel Ellsberg, and we'll be inviting him, if he's so inclined, to pose a question or two for Peter later this evening. Dan continues to be a great inspiration to a younger generation of brave whistleblowers who've taken on the American war machine. including Chelsea Manning, Julian Assange, and Edward Snowden. But first, without any further ado, I want to welcome Peter Dale Scott, author of the important new book, The American Deep State, Wall Street, Big Oil, and the Attack on U.S. Democracy. Peter, on behalf of our wonderful host, Patrick Marks of Green Arcade, an oasis, by the way, of literary and political culture in the belly of the corporate digital beast. I want to say what a pleasure it is to speak with you this evening. Peter.
David, didn't you realize that after all that, anything I say is going to be an anticlimax?
I think you'll hold up quite well, Peter. Well, let's start with the obvious. What exactly, how do you define the deep state?
Well, I'm going to, the deep state actually is a phrase I used back in 2007 for America. It was originally used about Turkey. And then it went sort of viral last year. And on the Bill Moyer show, somebody called Mike Lofgren, whose background, by the way, is Republican, he came up with a very good definition, which I will read because it's something that he and I share. And then I will make my own issues with it, but it's a good starting point. It's page 11, and it says, this is Mike Lofgren on the Bill Moyer show. There is the visible government situated around the mall in Washington, and then there is another, more shadowy, more indefinable government that is not explained in Civics 101 or observable to tourists at the White House or the Capitol. The former is traditional Washington partisan politics, the tip of the iceberg that a public watching C-SPAN sees daily and which is theoretically controllable via elections. The subsurface part of the iceberg I shall call the deep state, which operates according to its own compass heading, regardless of who is formally in power. And that's the really important thing, that we go back and forth, Republican, Democrat, and so on, but the really deadly programs don't change. I mean, the drones started under Bush. The drones are bigger, and we're going to come back to the drones, but the real scandal about the drones is we had a Republican president, Ford, who said by executive order that America does not assassinate, period.
Back in the 1970s.
That was back in 1975, and it was to, actually very interesting, it was to stave off the Church Committee investigation of the CIA. They were trying to stop things from going too far. And now we have a Democratic president who just signs off on killing people without any judicial process whatsoever. And the wrong people repeatedly are getting killed. Or even at one famous time, they got the man they wanted, but he was negotiating with one of the most moderate leaders in Yemen, and the two of them, of course, got killed. So I think it's a very high priority to end this drone. If anything, it symbolizes for the rest of the world that America has a killer culture, and we do. And of course, it goes back to the Indians and everything, but now it's focused on this issue of drones, and somehow we have to get that to stop.
Well, let's talk about the...
Oh, no, again, yeah, I'm not finished. The trouble with... I know I mustn't go on too long, but the trouble with the iceberg metaphor, it's a very good metaphor, but it suggests that everything down there is solid, just like everything up on top is solid. And that's where I brought in the statement that what's down below is not a structure. To some part, it's a composite of structures, but it is so incredibly vaster that it's better to think of it as a system like a weather system. And there are various layers. Another metaphor is an onion. You know, the top layer of the onion is the government and the Constitution. The next layer is the CIA and the NSA and now JSOC in the Pentagon, which is perhaps more sinister even than the CIA. And then you get another layer in my book, which is these private consulting companies. Like, I can say quite a lot about Booz Allen Hamilton, ostensibly a private company, but internationally they've been very in sync since 1953, when both of them started operating in the same countries. It was interesting that CIA went in to overthrow the government in Iran, and there was Booz Allen Hamilton. They developed a close relationship with Nasser. It was really done mostly through Booz Allen Hamilton. So these are private companies that are part of the power structure. And then we're on our way to the corporations and the banks that Booz Allen also do their business with. And then finally you come to Wall Street and the bankers. And I do have a quote here from Franklin Roosevelt in 1933, talking to his friend Colonel House, saying that you and I know, this is his words, that a financial element has controlled this country since the age of Jackson. And the only thing wrong with that quote is he didn't go far enough back.
Well, so going back then to sort of the recent origins and recent history of what you call the deep state, it really did seem to go into hyperdrive under Eisenhower. When the Republicans finally took power in Washington after long Democratic rule, and it really has its roots in some way in the nuclear age, because as you write about, you call it the Doomsday Project. There was a